You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Jan Harrison. Jan, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Brainerd.
Jan, let's talk about what you're working on now. There's a number of things that I want to discuss with you about your work today, but to just get right into it with the listeners, what is it that you're working on now?
Well, I'm working on a series of ink and pastel paintings on rag paper, and they involve, many of them are endangered animals, having to do with the animal nature and the psyche.
Now, this is something that, of course, is a consistent theme in your work, animal nature and psyche. So before we start talking about just that, in the images that you're making, they're all of animals? Do you consider them portraits of animals? What are the images that you're making?
Sometimes they're portraits of animals, but not usually. Usually they are animals that go from one beingness to another. So they do a shapeshift in a way. So it isn't always even one species. They may combine species.
So when you say shapeshift, what do you mean by that? Like a caterpillar or?
What I mean is that it may start out as an image of a cat, and then it may change into that from rubbing the surface and so forth. It may change into another animal, say a hyena. You know, it may change, and they often do.
And in the process of changing, the final painting is then what, a hybrid of animals, or how do you see it?
Not always, but often they are, yes, but not always. And the cat is an image that has reoccurred in my work from the very beginning, and that was early on in 1979.
Okay, and I want to talk about some of the beginnings, but to finish up about this work, is this work going to be shown somewhere? Are you exhibiting this work or any work particularly soon?
It has been just recently at Cross Contemporary Art in Saugerties, New York, and it will be in upcoming exhibitions too. But that is the most recent show that just came down yesterday, and that was a group show.
So let's talk about the beginnings of some of this work. I know there's a lot of interesting things that you're involved in, including speaking in animal tongues. But I know also that there's a story. I believe it came from of a dream you had about connecting with animals in a specific way.
Yes, that happened in 1979, and I had a dream. I dreamed that I was walking by a river, and I came upon a bird, and the bird was very beautiful and very perfect. And I wanted to talk to the bird, but I didn't know how. And I reached down, and I held the bird in my hands. And I looked at the bird and saw that around the bird's neck was a tiny medallion. And then I saw that around my own neck was a tiny medallion. So I touched the medallions together, and at that point the bird began to sing in a language that I understood. And just shortly after that, within days after that, I started speaking and singing in animal tongues.
And that's very fascinating, and I'd love to hear what that sounds like to speak in animal tongues. Can you do that for us now? And also, how do you do it? What is the tongue you are speaking in? Are there many tongues, or how does that work?
There are many beings in the tongues. And, you know, if you look at my work, you can see that the animal beings, there are different beings. And I feel that those are some of those beings coming out. And so I'll try to do this now. In toi kalinano, umpain kaiki noni kamolinintan, oin kan kaini manitiko uyan toi kiki lananintiko. Minitiko maniti, unaiko uikan uyan ran daiki koi, wong daiki into nailintikom.
Thank you. Thank you. So tell me a little bit about that. That's beautiful and fascinating and mysterious, and I don't know what you said, of course. Is that a tongue for a particular animal? Or?
It's the tongue of the animal nature coming out in me. As a child, I grew up alone a lot and around animals quite a bit, feral animals in South Florida. And so I think this language was just something. I feel like it's in my cells and bones. And it is really just the language to connect with them. And I have noticed that when I do it around certain specific animal species, they do respond. They often respond, especially my cats, the cats that I live with, but also even when we're hiking in the woods and we come close to an animal, say a possum or a deer, if I'm silent for a while and sit still and then do the language, they do respond, which is amazing to me.
That is amazing. And by respond, meaning they look at you, or do they make sounds back?
They look at me. They even sometimes come forward to see me better. And sometimes they respond with their own sounds, especially the cats.
And do you feel that when you're doing it, like in the example you just mentioned with the cats or even hiking, is there... I mean, you say it's the animal nature that's creating that tongue. Is there also content to that? Is there something that you're saying, in other words, or that the animals are saying back to you?
Do you know what I think it's similar to? I think it's similar to when you look at a painting, when you're viewing a painting. It doesn't necessarily, it often doesn't, speak to you in a literal story. You know, there are different levels of that and things interact with other things, and so I believe it's like that. I think it's that kind of communication, which isn't, even though it's coming from my mouth, it's not just verbal. It's something else.
And when you do it, does it often sound the way it did when you just did it before, or is it different kind of sounds and what sound like almost word formations? Is it always different, or does it have a similarity?
There are similarities, but there are whole different passages. And by the way, I can remember, especially in the songs that I do, I can remember whole passages from early in the 80s, you know, from a long time ago. I can remember those, and they come back to me. But they do vary, especially within the songs, if I sing it.
So tell me about the songs. How do they differ from the speaking?
I think they differ in a way that they are more spiritual in nature to me than speaking in the language. I've actually been corrected by people. They say this is not literally a language. I'm just using that term, language. But let me just—I'll just sing a very short.
I'd like that. Yeah, take your time. I'd love you to sing that. Yeah.
Okano, omi kani nom, okano imi ano imi om. Okano imi ano imi om. Ikomo ani kominan. Okomo imi amo imi om. And there are really different beings that have different voices, the high voice and the low voice, and some of them are humorous, some of them are angry. You know, they really do come out differently.
So there's a whole narrative really to this. Like when what you just sang was a part of something perhaps, but you also said that sometimes whole passages from earlier songs come mm-hmm. back. So it sounds like there's a and then just correct me if I'm wrong, but similar stories that are being told or something like that within the narrative of the song.
I think it is. I think they're stories, but they're not. But they're stories in a different way. I know when I'm with animals and I feel a connection with them. Sometimes if I use words, and I can actually speak and write okay, but I'm just saying that when I use words, sometimes it gets in the way when I'm communicating with the animals. And there is a communication that happens, but it isn't in the kind of logical words that and the way we put meanings to the words. It's a different way. It only comes
and what,
out.
And what is that way? Is it like the way of how we might speak to an infant? It's not with words, or if it is with words, they're not answering back. I mean,
there could be a connection there. I haven't actually tried it with human infants, but there could really be a connection there. It's pre-verbal. I think it's pre-verbal. That's what I'm going to say that it seems closest to.
And with these songs and tongues, do you record them at all? What do you do with them? I know you've done some performances, but
I have done performances. I prefer to do them in conjunction in exhibitions of my visual art. And sometimes I hold up sculptures that I have done, clay and wax sculpture heads. They're not really masks, but heads. And sing through them that I have done. And sometimes I have even included some dance in it. But even though there have been articles about the connection with performance art, I don't ever call myself a performance artist because this is the only performance I do. This is it, you know, this is it. And it goes with the visual art. Somehow they mesh and go together.
That's very interesting because it's specific to your visual art. It's right. It's mm-hmm. not as though you do these different performances everywhere. It has a very distinct connection to the visual art. So you've been doing this for quite a while now. And there's the sculptures too, which we haven't talked about. So are you still making sculptures, or we could just talk about the ones you have made? But they were. The sculpture was made out of clay as well as porcelain, right? You were also casting, or?
Yeah, in some cases I was casting from a one head that I did and then go from there. But then there, excuse me, are whole body sculptures too that I've done. I'm not doing as much sculpture now. I'm mostly working in pastel and ink on rag paper, and that's mostly because of space in my studio. You know, that's
right.
Not all I've got.
and so the work now you're doing is on paper, and it's often the heads of animals, or are you doing like the entire body?
The work on paper is depending on the series, because there was one series that was the upper torso and heads, very large, of different animals. That was just a few years ago, and now within the past 3 years, I've been doing a series, animals in the Anthropocene, and those are different animals, whole body and heads, interacting and changing and moving. It's there in some cases. It's very dance-like.
Ha! The Anthropocene and it's and so to step back a little bit. You've been speaking in tongues for a while and talking about, animal nature. Over the time that you've been making all this work, have things changed much? I mean, what I'm trying to get at, I guess, is animal nature is something that different people talk about in different ways. You're talking about it in a very specific way. There's you and your art and these voices that are all coming together. Do you find that other people talk to you about this? Does it open up other things in terms of other people's animal nature? I'm trying to get at a little bit what animal nature is. Like do
That's
other people open
question.
Up because of that? Or,
yeah. Yes, because the first time I perform, quote unquote, the tongues in 1980, several people came up to me and said, "Well, you know, I do something that is a tongue, and I like to try it." And they'd go away, and then they'd come back and they'd do it. And I've actually got recordings of it, but it has brought up conversations with numerous people about the animal nature and our interrelationship with non-human animals, because of course we're animals too. And and also I can see the difference in since I began doing this, which was a while ago, I can see the difference in how people are relating to animals and how it's not so cute now. I think they are beginning to really realize, you know, what this means, that we're all together on this planet. And if we're going to survive, we have to understand the planet a little bit better and respect it.
Well, that almost sounds like another level of consciousness or a different place in our evolution, which is a great thought there. So you're saying that part of what's happening here is much larger than you or your art or animals,
yeah,
or us as human beings, mm-hmm, that this has something to do with the planet itself as a
yes,
kind of an entity. And so is that something that's happening more now? I mean, I'd like to explore that a little bit. Does that mean that at certain times of there's more talking than others, or what does that exactly mean, and what's our role in that? Because we all have a role in that, right? It's about, in a way, communicating with our planet or saving our planet, or maybe I'm going too far out on a limb here.
No, you said that is good. When you said communicating with our planet, that's good. And I haven't heard it said quite like that before, and I like that. And I just I can see maybe it's the people I now know that I didn't know in 1980, but I honestly do believe that there is a shift in consciousness, and it does really have to happen, I feel.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. It's been wonderful talking to you about this, Jen. As a work in your studio unfolds, you'll be exhibiting, and will you also be doing quote-unquote performances, because I know it's not a performance, but will you be also doing...
Yes, I will, mm-hmm, in conjunction with a solo show, probably, yes.
That's very exciting, and this is maybe one other sort of odd question, because I feel like I could ask so many questions about this, but so with your own cats at home, when you're talking to them or speaking in tongues, do you feel like you can understand, for example, if they're hurt, sick, want food, or is it not a communication that direct? Is it more a kind of communion or something?
Well, it is more a kind of communion, but also it seems to open a, I don't want to use the word portal, but for lack of a better word, portal. It seems to open an avenue to be able to have a more one-to-one relationship with them. I'm no longer speaking to them from my English human language, and it's something else, and it breaks down a barrier. Not breaks it down, it dissolves a barrier. Mm. And And I think that I am able to tell a little bit more whether they are hurting or whether they're amused or whatever. And they had such a wide range of emotions and thoughts.
That's fascinating. Before we go, I want to ask you what you're reading at the moment. I ask everybody, and I'm curious about what you're reading now.
Well, I'm actually reading two books but the one that I really love and keep going back to is The Others, How Animals Made Us Human by Paul Shepard. It's an Island Press book. But then I also, but I have to keep coming back to this other one I'm going to mention because it's, I have to open the door to my studio here, because it's more academic in nature and kind of difficult to read but brilliant, and that's Cloud of the Impossible, which is Negative Theology and Planetary Entanglement, and that's by Catherine Keller.
Wow, that sounds fascinating. I don't know what that even means, but that sounds
it's
that
a
sounds
fascinating
really interesting.
Book. I end up reading, say, 50 pages at a time because she is, by the way, a friend of ours, and she teaches at Drew, and is the author of numerous books, but this one is truly brilliant, Cloud of the Impossible, and I will be reading it for another few months, I think.
Well, Jan, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today. It's really been a pleasure talking to you and also hearing from you about your work.
Thank you. It's been wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.